Returning to Nandagram with the cows, indicating his desire to disappear behind the mountains, the sun gradually diminished his painful, scorching rays. The scent of honey from the lotus flowers blossoming in the lakes refreshed the air with a sweet fragrance. Smelling it, the bees went mad with a desire to taste it. The atmosphere felt pleasant and the ground was soothing to touch. Gathering the herds of cows, the gopas walked along with Krishna, who played sweet, gentle tunes on his murali while driving the cows home. Bellowing happily as they moved, the cows fixed their eyes in the direction of Nandagram. As they passed through the various villages along the way, Krishna cast sidelong glances towards the gopis, who stood on the rooftops to greet him as he walked by. The Brajavasis took immense pleasure in seeing their beloved Krishna and Balaram after a long summer's day. Krishna's beautiful dark blue curly locks peeking out from the edge of his limestone white turban enchanted the eyes of everyone. The dust rising from the hooves of the cows created an auspicious atmosphere. Gentle breezes added a comfortable sensation. The breeze, purified by the touch of Krishna's transcendental body, soothed and satisfied all the Brajavasis as they watched the returning boys and cows. Drinking the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute with the cups of their ears, the deer hurried to the edge of the forest to see him. The birds that felt empty in his separation and the trees that had become lean and thin again rejoiced upon hearing Krishna's reassuring flute. Krishna entered a joyful mood as he approached the border of Vrindavan. Rows of excited bumblebees formed a garland of blued sapphires to adorn the neck of Vrindavan. The bees went blind from smelling the sweet fragrance of lotus-eyed Krishna. And although a strong wind crushed their pride in flying, they tried their best to follow him. Enthusiastic to return home, Haladhar ran down the long road into Vrindavan. Krishna, the radiant prince of Vrindavan, was the abundant treasure house of beauty endowed with unlimited varieties of good fortune, however lagged behind while returning from the pasturing ground. He deliberately walked slowly like an intoxicated baby elephant in order to create some distance between himself and his brother Balaram. Krishna was suddenly maddened with bliss as a result of his deep-rooted affection for the Braja Gopis. Now, without any shame or fear of his elder brother, Krishna unhesitatingly fixed his eyes on the Chandra Salikas, small rooftop rooms for panoramic viewing. Standing in the Chandra Salikas, the gopis filled the sky with the countless full moons of their faces glowing with love. The blue lotuses of their eyes covered the broad lakes of their chests. Colorful rainbows from their dazzling jewelry illumined the sky. The black bees of their darkened eyebrows restlessly circled the flowering creepers of their smiles. The rivers of their liquid beauty flowed down to touch the ground below. The gopis thought continuously of Krishna within their hearts while separated from him during the day. Although Lord Shiva held poison in his throat, the gopis could not contain the intense hankering of their hearts to see Krishna. Forcefully surging from their hearts, this fervor choked their voices and made them lose external awareness. As the day gradually met the evening, the gopis, forever bound to Krishna by unbreakable ties of love, became agitated with the desire to see him. Seeing Krishna in the distance, with his ever-fresh, youthful body glistening like a dark blue cloud, the gopis immediately blossomed in ecstatic love. Krishna wore a colorful turban decorated with a peacock feather jutting out at the side. Suddenly, Krishna glanced directly at the gopis standing on the Chandra Salikas. At that moment, the gopis appeared to be drinking the sweet nectar of Krishna's gorgeous form with the cups of their eyes, touching him with their hands and licking him with their tongues. Krishna transformed into the black cudgel around their eyes, the blue lotuses over their ears, the sapphire necklaces on their chests, and the musk ointment smeared on their bodies. Stunned in love, the gopis just stood motionless like figures drawn on a painting. Viewing the situation, Krishna's dear friend, Kusumasava, said jokingly, "Oh, dear friend, For many days we have not seen anything so astonishing. When you disappear in the forest like the sun sinking into the water, the gopis on the Chandrasalikas look like lotuses growing in the sky, sustaining their life in the waters of love. When you reappear as the moon throwing its rays on the earth, they blossom in delight like night-blooming lotuses. There is nothing more amazing anywhere on the earth. In Brahma's entire creation, you will not find a more astounding or attractive scene. After saying this, Madhumangal cleverly pointed out the beloved daughter of Vrishabhanu. Though glancing at all the gopis, Krishna especially noticed the attractive lotus face of Radhika, which pleases the eyes, exceeds all description, and is beautified with ecstatic love. Their meeting ended the days-long separation as they satisfied each other with their sidelong glances. The nectar of love for each other constantly flowed in Krishna's heart and in the hearts of the gopis. With great anticipation, the Brajabasis awaited the return of Krishna and the cows. First they saw the dust clouds in the distance created by the hooves of the cows cutting the earth. Then they heard the bellowing of the cows and saw the gopis coming close behind. And finally, they beheld the bright blue effulgence preceding the jewel-like prince of Vrindavan. Overwhelmed with the desire to lick their calves, the cows tried to run, but the heavy weight of their full milk bags checked their forward movements. Becoming jubilant upon hearing Krishna's flute, their eyes rolled in ecstasy. Though their voices faltered when they mooed, they produced a pleasing sound as they entered Vrindavan. The touch of Vanamali's cows purified the earth. The rays of the sun shined in the house of Nanda and Yashoda as they welcomed their beloved son. Moved by limitless joy, Yashoda rushed to embrace Nandanandana. Finally seeing him after a long day of his playing in the forest, Yashoda was overwhelmed with happiness and removed the pangs of separation. Rejecting all rules of formality, she took Krishna through the lion gate and directly into the palace courtyard. Krishna's lips bathed in the beautiful light of his radiant teeth. The cowherd boys accompanying Krishna felt happy and pleased in heart. With great animation, they spoke excitedly to Vrajeshri Yashoda. O mother, today a demon disguised himself as one of us and tried to kidnap Haladara. But your son Balaram easily killed this malicious character. Then a terrible forest fire threatened to devour the cows, the very source of our wealth. But Krishna promised to save them, and did so by performing the impossible task of destroying that fire. After reporting this, the boys returned to their respective homes. Due to Yashoda's deep motherly affection, milk automatically poured from her breasts as she embraced Krishna, whose body surpasses the beauty of a monsoon cloud. A festive mood pervaded the house as Yashoda led Krishna to his room. Raktaka, Patraka, and other house servants with hearts full of affection served Krishna by bathing and dressing him. A brilliant necklace glowed on Krishna's chest. A yellow silk dhoti as beautiful as stationary lightning enwrapped his exquisite form. The sandalwood pulp on his body appeared like snow sprinkled on the land of Vrindavan. Ridiculing the radiance of the sun, the Kastuba gem, which is the king of all jewels, reigned over the kingdom of Krishna's broad chest. His earrings outshone the brilliance of Venus and Jupiter. The luster of Krishna's face far surpassed the pleasing full moon in autumn. The turban resting on his head looked like an intoxicated swan. Krishna chewed on betel nuts scented with camphor to remove the fatigue of the hot summer's day. The pan represented the intoxicating mellow of the gopas' love-filled hearts. Krishna, the best of respected persons, stole the minds of the gopas and filled them with ecstatic sweetness of Sakya Bhava. Krishna's jewel-inlaid shoes did not touch the earth as he stepped outside to walk to the Goshala. His tightly wrapped yellow dhoti moved slightly in the gentle breeze as he walked along the royal road before the lion gate. The light from its inset Chandrakanta jewels illuminated the road that had been decorated with garlands to honor Sri Krishna's return. These jewels perspired drops of cooling nectar, which in turn made the wind moist and refreshing. Everything became even more pleasing due to the nectar shower of the rising full moon.